Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for SAN, and I will open with prayer, and Bishop Jackson will be joining us in just a little bit. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity again today to be on this call. Thank you for each of these patriots, each of these who are standing firm for you and standing firm for this country. We're grateful for the United States of America. Next week we celebrate our birthday, and we're just so grateful for the freedoms that we have experienced. And that's what this call is about today, the freedom to pray, the freedom to exercise our religion, the freedom to speak and to have the freedom not to be shut down, not to be told what I can say and what I can't say. And so, Lord, we're just grateful that you have given us this opportunity to be a part of something that is bigger than we are. We have tried so hard to maintain it. We've worked very hard, but Lord, we know the bottom line, you are the one who is going to keep the United States of America free. The enemy is doing everything that he can to shut us down, to get this country into something that it was not meant to be. And so, Lord, we are depending on you to turn it around and to get us back on track. Thank you for our founders. Thank you for those who have given us the Declaration of Independence and our Constitution, and particularly that First Amendment that gives us delineates for us the freedom that you gave to us to exercise our faith in the public square. We thank you for our guest today, and we ask that you would give him the wisdom and the understanding to speak clearly the things that you've given him to say, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, I've just been told that Bishop Jackson is not going to be on the call today, so we'll just go ahead and proceed. Our guest today is someone that most of you, if not all of you, have heard quite a bit about. Coach Joe Kennethy was disciplined by his school district for simply exercising his religious faith. And I just mentioned to him and to Bishop last week that it just came to my attention that the Supreme Court decision restoring, I don't know if that's the correct term, but at least recognizing Coach Kennedy's freedom to pray publicly was 1 year ago today. So today is the anniversary date, and we're so excited to have Coach Kennedy on. And I'm just going to turn it over to him and allow him to share with us what he wants to say, and then we'll open it up for questions. So, Coach Kennedy, the floor is yours.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Oh, my goodness. Every time I get on a call, I sit there, and I'm glad that you prayed for wisdom, because half the time I feel like I fail at that miserably. So thank you for that. You know, God's just put it on my heart from the very beginning, since I can ever remember, is to be a fighter. I see a lot of the Christians, I see a lot of the people that attend church and are believers that think that Christianity is some kind of spectator sport. It's where you sit back and you absorb and you just really just take, and I really don't think that that's what it's really about. God called it on my heart to be a fighter my whole entire life, and this was just one of the battles that I was blessed to be able to be involved with. I was in the Marine Corps for 20 years, so I got to fight for our country. I was in the first Iraq War and got to fight for the Constitution. And when I was with these young men coaching, that was one of the things that I've always taught them, is how to fight, how to stand up, and how to do what's right, no matter what the cost is. And that's what I really believe that all Americans are really called to do, is to make a difference in everybody else's lives, not just our own, just for our family, for our friends, and for the people who really can't stand up for themselves. When I was disciplined by the school district, our superintendent, Aaron, he actually went to the same church as I did, which put everything into an awkward position, if you can imagine how that would be. And it was just really sad because not only did he not, he was not able to take on this fight, and even though he's a strong believer, he knew what was right. He just spent 37 years of his career trying to get to that pinnacle of his career, and losing that over a high school football coach for a 30-second prayer, I can understand why it would be difficult for anybody to stand up for that. The thing that really bothered me is that our church actually put us together and tried to work it out, well, not in the same room, but tried to work it out where we could really just all get along, and wanted me to just go along with the school district. And it just really frustrated me that the church isn't even standing up for what is right and what we're to believe in. And I think we're all called to, you know, to be the light out there. And we all know that it's definitely getting darker by the day. So I really believe that all of us have to actually make a stand now. There's no other place for us to go. Our backs are against the wall. We've been sitting around for so long saying, oh, well, that doesn't affect me. You know, let those people do their thing. Well, until what happens is you end up losing your rights as an American. And when the school district told me to stop praying with the kids, it was very unfortunate. This was in my eighth year of coaching football, and it was a tradition. It was something that we always did. And when they said that I was no longer allowed to pray with my players, it was unfortunate, but it was their school and their rules, so I agreed. And after that moment, I never prayed with another one of my football players again. So I felt like I did my due diligence in what I needed to do. It wasn't until the school district told me that I was no longer allowed to pray because somebody might see me on the 50-yard line praying. And that was my line in the sand. I couldn't go any further than that. I was weak in my flesh. I really, really wanted to give in. I didn't want any fight. These people at the school district have been my friends for about a decade. These are good friends of mine in the community, and we had great working relationships. So this was a very difficult decision to do, and to lose your job here in America for the simple act of praying, that was a no-brainer. Not at all. I was just following what God has asked me to do. I followed the commitment that I made with Him that I would give thanks after every football game, and it ended up costing me my job. And there's no place in America that somebody should feel like they would lose their job because of their faith. And I think most people end up hiding their faith, pretending like it doesn't exist. And I'm not sure what the verse, but I hear that it's, you know, you don't want to hide it under a basket. We should be out there being light here in America. And, you know, like Pastor said, I've been fighting this fight for, wow, this will be the ninth football season, which I will be starting this fall, and having our first game back and me being able to exercise my first right as an American. And when the Supreme Court ruled in my favor 6-3, it was just such a blessing to hear what the Supreme Court ruled on, saying that the First Amendment prayer and speech is doubly protected under the First Amendment. And so many people think that there's some kind of separation of church and state in the ways that really not meaning what it was intentionally designed for. And I was really great for it to clarify that, yes, we do not have to take our faith out of the public square. There's a lot of battles going on right now that trying to remove all of that. But that's the great thing about this case is it was a landmark case, and it overturned what they call the Lemon Law, which has been in place for so many years. And the sad part about it is everybody believes that the separation of church and state is a fact, and it's something that we all have to abide by. And that's with the Supreme Court ruling in the way that it did, it removed that stipulation of the Lemon Law, which got overturned. And now there's about 7,000 cases that now could be overturned and re-ruled on for religious freedom in the public square. So when they took out prayer in the public school, we could see the downfall. We could track that. That's not rocket science. So, this was just a great victory for everybody who's prayed, everybody who's been part of my life, been on this fight with me. I feel like I have never felt the coming together as an American until I was actually out there in the battle. And let me tell you, God can do absolutely anything. And of course, he could have made the decision easily for the Supreme Court guys. But I really, from the bottom of my heart, believe that God, the reason why God had the ruling in our favor was because of Americans' prayer and all the people that actually took time to get on their knees and ask God to be part of this. And I got to tell everybody on this call, thank you so much for being part of that fight and being, by my side. There's no way I could have done this fight by myself, especially with my family and my kids. It was a rough time, but I've always known that I've had everybody in my corner, and I'm not alone in this. I have God, and I have millions of Americans that are willing to fight and to defend the Constitution and their free speech. And, that's really what I had to say.
Well, thank you, Coach. I really appreciate that good emphasis on what we need to do in response to these attacks against us. It's one thing to say, well, this was my experience. It's a whole other thing to say, well, this is what the plan is. And like you said, you're a fighter, and I think we're all called to fight. Paul says in Ephesians 6 that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in heavenly places. It doesn't mean we're supposed to pick a fight, but when the fight comes to us, we're supposed to be able to stand. Press star 6 to get in queue to ask a question or make a comment, and I will open that question time, Coach, by one thing that has puzzled me about not just this case, but a lot of these religious freedom cases is organizations like Freedom From Religious Foundation and other organizations like that, atheist groups, non-religious groups, seems to bother them that we have the right to exercise our religion. And it kind of, and I just get your comment on this. Why does it bother non-religious people that those of us who have a faith, those of us, whether we're Christian or Jew or Muslim or whatever, why does it bother these people that we have a faith that we want to exercise? Why is it a problem for non-religious people that religious people have faith? Would you comment on that?
Yeah. I really believe there's a lot of faiths out there. I'm not just speaking as a Christian. I'm speaking as a United States Marine and American citizen who loves the Constitution. I really believe that like you said, the fight is not against just flesh and bone. So the people of other faiths, and you could pick out a million of them, there's Hindu, the Buddhism, there's, you got Jewish, you got Catholics, you got Seventh-day Adventists, you got every kind of Christian you can imagine, and you have Muslims. Everybody thinks that their religion is right, and they end up fighting over what is right in their minds. And if we really get down to it, there's only one God, and they might call him something and believe something totally different than us. So we do have a lot of the fights of just, within ourselves of our faith. And the other part is the people who have no faith, it seems like they are just, I don't want to say wicked, but it is wicked to take people's rights away and try to remove something that we have I met so many atheists. I met so many people that were part of those groups, and they just wanted the religion to be taken completely out of America. So there's something else going on with those people. They're mad about something, and it's, you know, I've always challenged them, hey, if you don't believe in God, try it. Take them on and prove me wrong. But no, they just want to be able to take it away from myself. They're just people that are, they're very much in the war, and I unfortunately, they're on the wrong side, and they're part of that thing that we can't see, and they're the very much the works of the enemy.
I agree with you. On that. We do have a couple callers. Vanity, go ahead. Let's take that first call.
Hi, Joe.
Go ahead.
This is Jose. Hi, Joe. This is Jose from the DPRK, the Democratic People's Republic of California, not to be confused with North Korea. Thank you so much for your service, brother, and Semper Fidelis, and not only faithfulness to the core, but faithfulness to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and standing up. My question is this. Yeah, did you ever foresee that you would be such a celebrity going all the way to the Supreme Court? And how did you find the strength to do that? Because that can be very intimidating. Who is the law firm that supported you? And do you have any plans to run for a school board or maybe even governor? God bless.
Semper Fi, and thank you. I thank you for all the support. So First Liberty Institute was the firm that was a direct link to us. We also had Paul Clement, and we had a couple local lawyers that were involved. And you could check out firstliberty.org, and there's a lot of groups. ADF is a great one that, you know, wrote a lot of amicus briefs. And there's so many different places across the United States, the family policy groups. I mean, there's just a million of them that have just been so supportive. And, you know, no, I never thought I would be this. Anybody that knows me, they think, you got in trouble for praying? Now, all the things I do bad on a daily basis, you would think I would have been fired for one of the many other things that I've done, but not something that was good like this. And it was a fight that I didn't want to have. I really love the school district. I loved all the people at the school district. Who knew where this would go? I mean, something, and I can't wrap my brain around it. A 30-second prayer at a high school football game. That's what made international news and went to the Supreme Court. The only way that could happen is God, because let me tell you, I'm one of the biggest hypocrites. I am one of the worst Christians I know. I fail constantly every day. And a lot of times, you know, I know it's enemy telling me that I'm a fraud, but I just got to keep looking forward, looking at God and saying, you know, you're my light, you're my savior, and I will keep marching towards you, even though I fall on a daily basis. And I hope I covered all the questions.
Well, the one question that you did not cover was, do you have any plans to run for school board or governor?
I've been approached many times to run for office, and, you know, it has not been my calling yet. I am not opposed to it. I will go wherever I'm called. I know that school boards are in desperate need of having good Americans on their boards that are looking out for the well-being of our kids instead of ideological weird ideas, and really focused on educating kids on the things that they need to learn to make us competitive across the world. Governor, boy, I sure would like to take out the governor of Washington State, so I don't know what my plans are. If God pulls me in that direction, then what am I going to say? No, I'm going to go wherever God calls me to go.
Well, that's a good answer. I really appreciate that one. Okay, we have another caller. Let's take the second call.
Hello,
go
sir.
Ahead.
God bless you. Thank you that you are absolutely an inspiration to all of us in the battle, and that, you know, we didn't see ourselves here at all. in our younger years, and yet here we are. And so I just wanted to say thank you and God bless you. And I wanted to just say that I believe that what happens with non-believers being so threatened by our Christianity is it's an antichrist spirit in them. And so their antichrist spirit sees our Christ spirit. And we know that the demons know Christ, and they know exactly what's going on. So it's the demon in them rearing up against us, is my personal humble opinion. So thank you.
Yeah, I absolutely agree that, like you said, the battle is not flesh and blood. It is the enemy, and I don't know what the answer is to help fix that, because there's always going to be, you know, the demons and the enemy that is always going to be attacking. They know what the end days are coming, and they, like you said, they do know who is right, and they know who God is, and they're going to try to take out as many people as they can along the way. So they lost the fight, but they're just trying to take out as many as they can before it's over.
Amen. Amen. Again, press star 6 to get in queue. I'm going to follow up on something that you mentioned before. We talked about it beforehand, the First Amendment, the Constitution. The people that talk about separation of church and state seem to hang that not just on Jefferson's letter to the church, but also to the first phrase in the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, thinking that that's the only part of that amendment that matters, that we just can't allow Congress to establish a religion, which really isn't the point of the amendment at all. It's that Congress shall not basically interfere with religious establishments. And then that second phrase, of course, is what really, you know, sets what you did or your situation apart. And again, I read part of Justice Gorsuch's decision, you know, that it was the free exercise of your religious rights as well as the freedom of speech, that those two things working together are what made that 6-3 decision so obvious. What about that First Amendment? I think Jose asked, you know, about did you ever feel like you would be in that situation? But the First Amendment should be very obvious. I mean, it should be people should look at that and say, well, yeah, you have free exercise of your faith. What is it that clouds people's minds, other than what we talked about, you know, the demonic or the enemy? What is it that clouds people's minds to get them to camp on that separation of church and state thing that keeps people from getting involved?
I would absolutely say it has to do with ignorance. The Lemon Law was put in when we were all kids, if not before, and our entire lifetime, all of we've known is that phrase of, you know, the separation of church and state. And that's something, like you said, that's just the letter that Jefferson wrote. But because of the Lemon versus, I think it was Kirchman, that set the precedence that it was taught from that day forward that you can't have the freedom of religion in a public square. And we've always taught our kids, not us, but the schools, that's their understanding of it. We've had, how many generations have been under the impression that you can't pray in church, you can't have religion in the public square, you can't, if the government is anywhere near it, you can't bring it. And that's not exactly what you said. It's not what it was designed for, but it has to do with the ignorance that we do not teach it in our schools of the freedoms that we do have. I would venture to say, if I was a betting man, that if you asked 100 kids what the First Amendment says, I don't know how many of them could really even tell you what that is, or where it's even found. You know, you'd probably get every answer under the sun. We are so woefully inadequate in teaching our kids about history. And you could start at the Bible and end up where we are today in Russia and Ukraine and all the things that are going on. But we need to educate our kids and educate other Americans, because it's not just kids. It's also adults that have absolutely no idea what the true meaning of the Constitution is.
Hey, Marlon and Coach, this is Bishop E.W. Yes. Jackson. Listen, Coach, I apologize to you. I intended to be on this call, but I had some flight issues that got me into Atlanta later than I expected. In fact, a couple of days later than I expected. But I've been looking forward to having you on this call, and I've been listening in for a little bit. And you may have been asked this question already. So, first of all, just thank you. We're honored to have you on. Thank you for the bold stand.
Oh, thank you, brother.
And we're grateful for you. Look, what would you say to the Christian community? Because it doesn't seem that this is letting up, and yet there's still many Christians who just choose to stay on the sidelines and not realize that their liberties, their rights are at stake. What would you say to them, given what you've had to go through in order to defend yours?
Yeah, well, I kind of touched on it earlier. I said that Christianity is not a spectator sport. And the other side of that coin is neither is being an American. Too long we've sat down on our butts, and I don't know how many times I hear people, oh, my God, did you see what was on the news? And they want to complain from their armchairs and their couches. This is our life. There are more Christians, there's more believers in America than non-believers. Yet we seem to be content, well, they haven't taken this from me, so I'm not going to say anything. I'd rather not cause a ruckus. And they think that, you know, a good Christian is one who is sitting, you know, being agreeable and being nice and sweet and all about love. Well, if you read the Bible, there's some guys, there's a guy named, I think it was David, and he seemed to be quite a fighter, and he had a whole bunch of men that were fighting. And I just don't want it to get to the point where we have to fight our own battles in our country, and not just in our churches, but it seems like we fight among each other. So we need to all band together and all of us stand up and just push back 100% like the enemy's doing. And it's not a one and done. You have to continue to fight, share your faith, and live the life that God has called you to do. We're called to be the light of the earth. Well, are we being the light, or are we hiding our light?
Well, you know, I believe people all over America, when they hear you and what you've had to endure in order to defend what is a fundamental right of saying, put me in, Coach. Put me in.
Yeah.
I'm ready for the fight. So, look, keep up the good work. So, Pastor Marlon, I haven't heard the whole discussion, but I can imagine what it's been, because, of course, I've had a chance to talk to Coach privately and in various meetings that we've attended together, and looking forward to doing that some more. So I don't know how long yet he's able to stay, but I would imagine we're getting close to the time he has to close out. So, Coach, listen, I'm hoping to see you on the trail somewhere, because we're going to stay in this fight until we win. And we're going to win.
Absolutely. And, yeah, I appreciate all you've done. And if I could be there for you or anybody on this call, I will stand up with any and every American. So I am a phone call away. You guys are not alone. And anything I could do to help, brother, I am in 100%.
Amen. Well, I'll be in touch with you. And, Pastor Marlon, you go ahead and close this out and give Coach an opportunity to tell people anything that they can do to support his work, or anything that he thinks people ought to be paying attention to right now, so we give people some kind of action they can take. Like you said, no armchair quarterbacks. Let's all get in the game. Thanks so much, Coach. God bless.
God bless you, brother.
Coach, one thing we did not touch on, I almost neglected to say this, but people may not realize what is your situation now? You've been reinstated, I believe, and so going forward, you're back on the field, I believe. Is that the case?
Yeah. Yes, they reinstated me in February. I went up to Bremerton for spring ball here about 3 weeks ago. Unfortunately, the school didn't take me back with open arms, and so we're going to try again this fall. Fall camp starts on the 16th of August, and our first football game is September 1st. So I will be out there doing 2 days summer camp starting in August, and if anybody can attend the game, absolutely, you are invited to tune in or attend. We'd love to have you.
So how can people find out what's happening with you? Do you have a website? Do you have somewhere where they can either support you or contact you?
Yeah, and it's a pretty tough one. It's CoachJoeKennedy.com. I know it's not.
That's a hard one.
that's very much a simple me. Yeah, we do have a book that will be published. You can get it on Amazon now. It's in pre-sales right now. But we're going to be selling the book to tell everybody the full story of my life and how God changed it and changed the nation. And later next fall, I believe we're going to be having a movie come out about it too. So God is very much working right now, and I want everybody to be involved with it. You can go to my website. You can go to firstlibertyinstitute.org. You can look up all this information and just become more knowledgeable about what's going on and hearing all the. We had so many victories this year in the Supreme Court. We had our Second Amendment. We had the Dobbs for Roe versus Wade. We've had so many victories that we need to be celebrating those and continue to, you know, push through. We just blew a hole in the enemy's plan. Now all of us Americans need to go charging through it and just stomp a mud hole in their plan.
Amen. Amen. Well, just in going along with what you just said about the victories, just give a heads up, on July 18th on this call, we'll have Matt Staver on talking about those victories. And we'll look forward to that call as well. Thank you, Coach, for being on this call. It has been an inspiration and an encouragement, I know, to everyone. And we look forward to hearing what God does with you in the days ahead.
Awesome. Thank you so much, brother. Love you all.
Love you, too. Well, thank you again for being on the call. I do want to close out in a way that I believe Bishop would appreciate, and that is that upcoming on July 14th, 7:14, will be the Second Chronicles 7:14 rally at the downtown Richmond Marriott. I think reception is at 6 and program begins at 7. If you're in the area or can get into the area, you plan on attending. It's going to be a great event. Second Chronicles 7:14 rally, July 14th, downtown Richmond Marriott, Richmond, Virginia. I know upcoming in September is our Celebrate American History Month. That coincides very much to what we've been talking about, because as Coach Kennedy said, our children are not being taught, in the public school at least, they're not being taught what the First Amendment is, what the Constitution's about, how our government was formed. They're being taught to hate our country, to hate our government, to hate what we stand for. And so Celebrate American History Month in the month of September is an opportunity for us to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is what our country is about. Our country is about freedom. Our country is about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our country is about making our lives better, not tearing them down. And so we look forward to celebrating that together with you. Also, as Bishop always said, remember to stand up, speak up, don't back up, because we cannot be defeated if we do not quit, for God, we are on God's side.